Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not making this up.
There's this big
black guy. He's one of the what they call those guys? The AF, what they called? The I don't know what you know the dude the guard.
What do you mean the AF? What, Air Force? What are we talking about here? TSA guys?
TSA, that's it. Anyway, so the TSA
Total Shitheads
guy,
Anonymous. Yeah, those guys. Yeah.
He's bigger than me. I swear to you, this is the honest truth. He puts on, he starts putting on the surgical glove, and he says, sir, to me. He says, sir,
Pucker up, Buttercup.
He says, I'm going to have to search you. I will use the back of my hand. I said, well, thank you for using the back of your hand. So I look over at the screen, and around my groin area, there's a whole lit up yellow area. He says, do you have any medical devices in your groin?
There's a whole yellow area around your groin. You pissed yourself.
True story. And he says,
well, this
I'm
is
have
today.
To pat you down. He, literally,
this is wonderful.
Today, he did my butt. He said, this is what he said. He says, sir, don't be alarmed. I am now going to touch your buttock.
Well, at least the first person that did that said, please.
Anyway, I passed the test. Thank you for joining the show.
God bless you.
And I finally got here with literally about 45 minutes left, and then this Blog Talk Radio crap is not working properly. We have like a 10-second delay, so if I push buttons for music, it may take 10 seconds before you folks hear it, but I'm doing my best over here. So how are you, John?
Oh, I'm doing great. Actually, I've got a bunch of shit going on tonight, too. It's funny. We've had when we first met, she had a 2001 Pathfinder with a stick shift. A stick shift, a five-speed. They're great to have these days because nobody can steal it anymore because the kids don't know what that means. So anyway, so we had this thing, and this thing has been the workhorse for, God, as long as DEF CON's been around, 13 years or whatever. Well, it died. Frame cracked, rusted, dud. Okay, spine's gross. Need another one. Well, here it is. So we found a 2002 Pathfinder, black. It has to be black. It's an automatic. I hate anything to do with automatic.
Wait. You moved.
What?
You made a major move from 2001 to a 2002.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah, we went from 2001. Yeah, I'm moving up in the world. I went there for 2001, 2002. You are correct. Now,
okay, go ahead.
The Mustang is a 1990. The Civic and the Drive is a 2002. Maggie's got the new truck. That's like a 2016 Ford F-150 thing. She's got the happy.
Okay.
No, she's got the happy vehicle. However, the workhorse has been the goddamn Pathfinder. Well, we're going up tomorrow. We're going to look at a 2002 moving up in the world. About three grand, whatever. And we'll see what happens. Well, Maggie is not totally sold on this thing. She's sad about the truck. I'm sad about the truck. We're all sad about the truck. This has been the Beastmaster General for DEF CON has been the DEF CON truck. Anybody who's been to any show we've done in like the last decade and a half has seen this truck at various locations. It's wrapped up. It's all happy. It's the DEF CON thing. Well, she's trying to sell me on a Ford Transit. Now, if you want to call in, you're welcome to call. Frank, you have the number, right? Your phone still works, right?
The number is 714-242. 5272. What are they calling for?
Well, I know. I want to know if you think a Ford Transit is worth it. That's my main thing. We have guests coming on. We'll call in for them, but you haven't heard them yet. You're hearing me right now. And I'm a little pissed off as well because the truck died. The beast died. The beast is we're going to cannibalize it in 2002. At least we can keep the seats. If we get a Ford Transit, then the Pathfinder just goes away and kind of does a patent. It just fades away.
I don't even know what is a damn Transit. Is that like one of those? Is it a van?
It's a fucked up looking truck. It's got like a nose of a Datsun from back in the day, the Toyota trucks from Back to the Future shit, the first one.
Yes.
It's like they've got the nose of that. And it's got the back of a freaking the storage truck. You can get them all different freaking sizes. They're not that expensive, but they're pieces. I don't know. I'm not a big fan. They'll serve the purpose.
if you want to call in, 714-242-5272, call in and tell us what you think of the transit. Should he get a transit or should he get the 2000?
Other than that, okay, now let's get a little bit, because we do not have a food guest on tonight. We do not. So I'm going to speak a little bit about the DEF CON stuff. In a couple of weeks, well, we kind of do. It's not, they're not a manufacturer of foods, or they know, yes, I get where you're going with that. Well, I'll leave that to you. But let me, my little plug, the DEF CON thing, we do have the beef jerky available. However, we will have in a couple of weeks the pork jerky, the DEF CON stinky pig. It's pork jerky, not your Monsanto, your Alberto's and your Jack's Lynx that's made from like seven-legged cats. We actually have the real stuff, the pork jerky made with our hot garlic. The garlic is made with scorpion pepper. That'll be available in a couple of weeks. And then we unveil the really hot at the New York City Hot Sauce Expo on April 22nd, which hopefully you will be able to attend there, Frank.
Maybe I will. You know, I just knew that you like to plug yourself so well. You and the TSA guy that I had this morning.
I plug myself. I sleep with my thumb up my ass, dude. I love plugging myself.
Yeah, well, you guys would have loved it. You love each other. The things he was doing to me this morning at the airport. Anyway, our guest is actually calling in, so I guess we should go do our show. Our guest is, and I'm sorry, I'm going by a lot of memory here because the board is all screwed up because of technical difficulties, but
and your
Arianne,
phone sounds like crap.
Thank you. Arianne, the bartender, Arianne, I got to ask her how the proper way to say it. I call her the bartender. That's the easy way for me to remember. She's calling in. She is from, there it is, what?
What?
There it is. What there it is?
you called her. That was good. That's
anyway.
The first time you said it. That's good. You didn't have to pronounce her name. At least you called her a her. This is good.
A her. Yes. Well, she's actually funny. We've had some conversations, and she's got some stories. Well, the first question before I bring her on, John, have you ever been to a bar?
Not in my entire lifetime, no. I left one earlier this evening, but I totally deny it.
I didn't think so. Anyway, you know when you go to a bar, you see the bartender, people tend to just tell the bartender anything, right?
Oh, no.
I do.
Oh, no.
Anyway, Arianne, Fielder, the bartender, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Hey, y'all. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, it's doing great. Now, is it Arianne or Arianne? Or Arianne?
It's Arianne.
There you go.
So Frank, you're wrong on two. A third strike, you got it. She told you.
I am. Believe it or not, I mean, it is Atlanta.
speaking of Atlanta, talking about problems, before we start talking about the bartender.
Oh, God.
I was on
the bridge
yesterday.
You're in such a bitchy mood. Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. How's that affecting you?
I spent 3 hours so far today in traffic, going back and forth on 285 for 26 miles for 3 hours. Yesterday,
wow.
I was actually on the bridge about 30 minutes before it collapsed. I was burning my truck doors off, so it was. It's been pretty crazy, to say the least.
Wow.
Wait.
At least
collapsed?
It was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day to spend outdoors in your car on 285 today.
So what we're saying is tonight is the perfect trifecta. Everyone had shitty days.
Yes.
I don't think it was a shitty day. It was a great day outdoors.
Oh, accentuating the positive. I like that.
All right, Arianne, tell us about.
Yes.
I mean, you got. I don't even know where to start. She's a bartender. She's also a consultant where she helps you. Well, tell me first, before we get into the stories, what exactly is your business?
Okay.
Do you do consulting for bars? Is that correct?
So, I mean, whether it be help somebody open up a bar, help them as far as whether their bar design be or maybe their menu design, write their cocktail menus. I also do staff trainings. Whether it be a spirits class, liquor class, wine class, tastings, special events, any of your food and wine festivals, Taste of Atlanta, some of the things that I do, some of the Bourbon and Barbecue Festival, the Whiskeys of the World conference.
Oh, so you
here,
do multiple states.
Oh yeah, definitely all kinds of things like that. I also have a regular bartending job as well. I work at Atkins Park in Smyrna. They actually just let me step out, thank goodness. So I can give you guys a call. But yeah, so we're out here dealing with the it was actually my favorite was the absolute complete sham of traffic where how about Braves opening day at the same time?
So, oh, geez.
Hey, shit happens.
Oh, it was like
man.
Better than this. No one could write Atlanta traffic better than that.
All right, so how long have you been a bartender?
I have been a bartender for about 15 years now.
Nice.
All right, so you've heard some stories, and some of the stories you told me about some famous people. I'm gonna let you play this one because I don't know how much you want to tell. But being a bartender,
We have only the confidentiality agreements when you're in the bar, and especially when I used to work for the hotel at the Intercontinental in Buckhead. Your confidentiality agreement is only during the time that they stay with you as a guest. So I can talk about whatever.
The whole name of Buckhead, the whole town name of Buckhead, that just.
Uh-huh.
You know, it kind of gives you thoughts. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But anyway. Yeah.
All right, so where do you want to start? You've had some famous people at your bars, and some of the things
definitely.
You told me.
Frank said he's going to be quiet because his phone's crapping out, as you can hear by the sound check. But, yes.
Well, you tell me. I mean, I've got plenty of them. Actually, when I was talking to Frank, I was laughing, actually quite literally laughing out loud when I was just thinking about some of them. Some of them are just one of those.
Okay,
like,
well, okay.
Yes,
now
I want to
you know a whole bunch of like really well known people. That's what Frank tells me, which is cool. I love it. That's awesome. Tell me not the funniest, because that's what everybody asks for. The dirtiest and funniest person who came in that you had a laugh with.
Oh, gosh. I think Charlie Sheen, during his whole hashtag winning and Tiger
Woods
days.
Oh, this is what I want to hear. Okay, cool.
I got Charlie Sheen on Valentine's Day, so I can tell you
oh, no kidding.
About him.
Oh, that's awesome.
He was, I opened up the...
the Bloody Mary with the tiger's blood. Oh, my God.
It was during this time. Denise Richards was filming Scary Movie 5 and staying at the hotel. Who Denise Richards, I mean, talk about somebody who doesn't crack. This woman is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I wish that I could have looked like her when I was 15, let alone.
So Keith Richards,
I mean,
and,
Keith
Richards and Charlie
so
Sheen in the same. Oh, my God, this is great.
So Charlie Sheen came in town to see his kids, and it was in February, and it was during that time. So Valentine's Day. this skeleton of a homeless man with like breakaway pants, you know, like those pants that just, like rip off and flip flops. And just the skeleton sunken face, and this is during that hashtag winning Tiger Blood
right.
days.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah,
my
yeah.
bar, and I'm just thinking like, oh gosh, because you know the Intercontinental Hotel is right there off Peachtree Street in Buckhead, so we get from time to time, you know, homeless guys that come through, and then I realize it's Mr. Sheen. So of course I come down to the bar, and this is on Valentine's Day, and his request was for me to turn $500. In $100 bills into ones, which I had to go
nice.
And make him change so he could go to the strip club on Valentine's Day.
Oh,
so
there you go.
The best was so he leaves with his ones and everything, and so he comes back and he just tells me that all the are we allowed to cast on this radio show? Or do I need,
what?
Or do I need
what?
To censor myself?
Oh, say
are,
whatever
I,
you
no,
want to
no.
say. It doesn't matter to us.
Okay.
I don't give a shit. Talk it.
Okay, great. If you don't give a shit, then I'll be able to say what he said. So he comes back, and he's like, man, these girls were so shitty. It turns out he was a tattletale. But he told me, he's like, these girls were so fat and ugly and shitty. Sweetheart, I need these things back. And he hands me the ones back, and he says, but first, and he folds up, like, this big wad of ones, and he shoves it in my back pocket, slaps me on the ass, and says, hey, I like that pink shirt you got there. And I'm like, well, thank you very much. He's like, is that for breast cancer awareness. I'm like, well, it was for Valentine's Day because it's Valentine's Day. He's like, no, because I'm very aware of your breasts right now.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And stumbles up to his room. So my chef and everybody, we're just dying laughing because this has got to be like, and the worst part is because of confidentiality agreement, you can't tell anybody. Like, nobody can even know that Charlie Sheen is staying in the hotel, let alone the fact that on Valentine's Day, I just got a back pocket full of ones, an ass slap, and told that he was aware of Breast Cancer Awareness Day.
Because
on
of your pink shirt.
Day, and I can't tell anybody around it.
It's a beautiful day.
It was one of those where you just like, you're just dying laughing. So it was only me and my chef that are even still there this time of night anyway. And we're not allowed to tell anyone.
And oh, wait, is the chef like a Turkish wrestler with back hair?
No, this is a big Southern guy that owned that had a ham bar that was there and everything else.
Oh, that'll work. Okay.
Like,
no, just,
we were kicking
just
back and I was like, I can't believe this just happened. So then, everybody in the hotel is buzzing about it and laughing about it. And dear sweet Art Smith, who is Oprah's private chef at Southern Art and Bourbon Bar, the executive chef that owns Southern Art, gets word of it. And the next day, I am sat down in the general manager of the hotel's office so that they can apologize formally, make sure that I'm okay. Make sure that I'm okay.
You should have said you're mentally wounded. Oh, my goodness. I don't know which bathroom to use. You should come up with something. Oh, my God.
Marianne,
it was
chair.
One of those where you're just
Marianne,
like, yeah, I'm okay. This is actually more uncomfortable than that was.
I would gladly take
my Charlie Sheen story.
Harry,
she's awesome. Frank, you got a good one. This is a keeper.
You missed your chance, girl. Hey, you could have sued the damn hotel. You could have sued Charlie.
Apparently,
oh my God.
I was supposed to tell them that I was.
Yeah, but no,
like,
but she's a real human.
Like,
she didn't.
That's true.
I was like, man, I don't know if you know, but he shoved $180 in ones in the back pocket of mine. I was pretty okay with
How big was that back pocket, darling?
I was like, me and Chef drank a lot that night, actually. It was pretty funny.
Do you have a story about P. Diddy? I think P. Diddy
about who?
Was on your list, right?
Oh my God,
P. Diddy? Oh no. Oh,
the BET Awards are absolutely hysterical anyways, and I mean, he had like one of those trucks that has like all
did you
the
say,
cars
did,
on
wait,
them,
wait,
like,
wait,
cars.
Did you say EBT Awards?
The BET.
Oh,
BET,
BET
yeah,
Black Entertainment Television, the BET
My bad.
Awards
all
are
right.
in Atlanta every year.
Yeah,
the BET Awards. Diddy was there, and of course, I mean, it's just everybody fills up the intercon, and he shows up with, you know, cars because he couldn't decide which cars to bring, you know, to Atlanta. So he shows up with one of those, like, you know, trucks that unloads like 17 cars off of them.
Right.
And
I've heard stories from other bartenders. Yes.
He's got one of these duffel bags with all of his posse around, probably like over 20 people, you know, because they can't go anywhere alone. But he comes through the main lobby of the hotel with a duffel bag full of money that's just like spilling out of it, you know, just like looking flossy as hell. And he trips and falls flat on his face. There's like all these people standing around, like standing on top of chairs, standing on top of bar stools, trying to take pictures.
Oh,
and he
God.
Falls on his face. And his security guard picks him up. Like, and they just keep walking out the door like it didn't happen.
Did he break his glasses?
Now, let me ask you, hey, Ariane, let me ask another question. You told me that you have a taser gun, or you had a taser gun in the bar.
I do. It's batteries.
Frank,
dead.
It's not a taser gun. It's a taser. There's no gun involved. It's
Whatever.
A taser.
Yeah, it's a
taser. Oh,
issue,
stop
it.
In Jersey, we can't have a taser gun.
Taser.
Oh, you killed me.
It is it's got both a contact and a shootout from it. The battery is dead right now.
Right.
But I do still have it. I would like to tell you that the battery is dead because I used it in some sort of hold up or something, but no, the battery is done just because we after hours play with it at the bar.
I thought you were going to get freaky for a moment. I'm like, it doesn't work anymore because I used it up.
I got scared for a minute. You go to YouTube. Hey, Carrie, tell me you go to YouTube and see you actually using the taser. Whose ass was that you were using the taser on YouTube?
Oh, no.
One of the owners, actually, that was actually one of the owners of the pool hall.
No, you have a video of this?
Yes, it's on YouTube.
Oh, my God. I got to watch. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah, we made sure that there was evidence for some reason, which is never a good idea. It's like one of those, like, you know, what happens in Vegas kind of like things. You should not ever do that.
No, that's fun. Oh,
but,
my God.
But yes, there is actually video evidence.
To be totally honest with you, when I got, I was living in West Orange, New Jersey. Oh, my God, how many years ago? I actually got it. I got a stun gun. I got one of these things. It was like 250,000 volts. I'm like, I didn't have a girlfriend, nothing. So I was like, well, I got nobody. Let's see what happens. So I went dead center of mass, bam, right below the heart, right dead center, right by the solar plexus, boom, it was wild. I just crumpled. I was sitting cross-legged on the floor. And I for about maybe 5 or 6 seconds, I couldn't move. But then when I tried to move, it was like when your foot falls asleep and then it starts to wake up and you get the pins and needles. It was like you moved a finger. You get the pins and needles over the freaking body. It was like Hellraiser, dude.
You start to realize that you do it to your staff a little bit too often when you can't even walk up like behind somebody and ask them for something without them jumping.
Right.
Like, you know, it's stress syndrome like all over the bar. Like when you just like walk up and you're like, hey, have you do you know if there's any more Bud Light? And like they like somebody like jumps out of their skin like they just saw like a ghost and it's like, oh, I should probably stop doing that. Like nobody will come near you. Like everybody's like terrified.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, God. Oh, you got to come up to the New York City Hot Sauce Expo. I'll tell you what, Frank, we got to get her up to Brooklyn.
Yeah,
April 22nd, 23rd. You got
to
come up.
She needs to be up there.
Now,
do you have any other stories of any other famous people you want to tell?
Oh gosh, man, I have to.
Oh,
think
she
about
has
that.
A ton,
Frank. there's definitely a lot. It just depends.
This is why she's coming back on, Frank, and she'll be here for another episode, Frank. This is why things go forward, Frank.
Oh, man. I mean, the other one I was telling Frank that had me laughing was during spring training had just begun, and Ben Roethlisberger had just come in town to testify before the NFL board. And of all things, his lawyer took him to Five Paces Inn, this bar I used to manage about 10 years ago. It's the oldest bar in Buckhead, of all things. It's a dive bar.
Buckhead,
and
what a horrible name, but yep.
And they're standing in the dead center of the bar, and he's watching Brett Favre, of all things. And one of the other guys, like, you could totally know exactly who he was. I mean, let's just say that Ben Roethlisberger looks like a really big golfer. Like, he does not look like a professional athlete whatsoever.
But he does. Steelers do have 6 rings.
Absolutely.
Oh,
so that's part of it, because he dented my bar with said ring.
good. That's a famous dent.
He was there to testify to the NFL board why he should get to play after he raped the girl in that Milledgeville bar.
Did not rape the girl. No, he went without a bodyguard that night.
I agree with you. I'm sure that, I know how, but that's what he was
Ben's
there
Ben's not
do
known
was,
for his
but,
intelligence. He's known for his being a quarterback.
Oh, absolutely
he also,
not. So,
but
so
he also fell over his motorcycle without a helmet. And, I mean, the man's not smart, but he's won a couple of Super Bowls.
No, he's not smart at all. He got shit-faced in the bar while he's there for 24 hours just to do that, to plead his case.
Right.
And gets into a fight with a guy about a Wrangler's commercial.
Oh, no.
And he gets so angry that he breaks the bar door down with, as he's banging his ring on the bar.
Well,
and his poor little lawyer.
It left an impression.
Trying to like drag him out. And he couldn't get him out and get him in a cab. And it was just like, oh my gosh, dude, you can't even come in town for 24 hours and not fuck up. It was so funny.
I love it.
I'm sorry. I hate the Steelers, so it was so funny.
Oh, but I love the Steelers. I still find it funny. Ah.
Oh, yeah. It was a good, but just like you said, when you said he's not very smart.
He's not.
Like,
no. That's why he has lawyers. That's why he has bodyguards. That's why he has people watching out for his best interests. Because if he goes into public without them, he's going to get into problems.
Yes.
He drove
absolutely.
A motorcycle without a helmet.
110%.
Yes,
yes.
So, he's a number.
Here's the deal. So you hit the nail on the head, John. When I talked to Ariane, I said, if this goes well, I can see her coming on and being a regular, the bartender in the stories.
Oh, most certainly.
Bar.
You kidding me?
This is just the tip of the iceberg. So
can I just
Ariane,
even tell you what happened to me?
She's getting along with Jersey, dude. She's getting along with Jersey. Now, that's hard to do.
You're talking over. What'd you say, Ariane?
Oh, I was just saying tonight when I walked in the bar, I kid you not, it's not even 7 o'clock at night, and I walked in and there was an 85-year-old woman with her shirt up flashing her boobs for the entire bar, and it was just like, woohoo, it's not even 10 minutes into
my
shift.
Dollar flapjacks.
It was just like, whoa, this is going to be a great Friday night.
Yeah, I'll take the dollar flapjacks. Just don't give me any honey.
Ariane, you're definitely coming back on the show. We have got to have you on more often, and you and I will talk off the air on how we're going to set this up. But we appreciate you coming in. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
your
thanks so much, guys.
Oh, it's great. It's great. And by
darling, and
you are
invited to the NYC Hot Sauce Expo if you'd like to attend.
Exactly.
I would absolutely love to.
Well,
I got.
I'll get you and Frank a ticket, and you guys come in, and you're gonna have a ball if you'd like to.
Awesome.
It's April 22nd, 23rd, right in the middle of Brooklyn.
Okay.
Amen.
Awesome. That sounds great.
Well, talk to Frank.
Hey,
Frank will get you up here. I'll get you tickets.
All right. Here's the
deal. Sounds
great.
That sounds awesome.
Do you want to plug your bar again? What's the name of the bar you work at?
There you go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's Atkins Park. We're at the Smyrna location, so over here right next to the brand-new SunTrust Stadium. It is Braves opening day. It is an exhibition game against the Yankees. Should be out in a little bit, so anybody that's out there, we're right there in the village of Smyrna, and we are open until 4 a.m. We serve food until 4 a.m. as well. We're one of the very few smoking bars that's still actually out here, too.
No,
I'm
kidding.
Right off the
are you kidding me?
Yeah,
oh, my,
can you
that's
believe
awesome.
It? They exist still. But, yeah,
wow.
We're open until 4 a.m. Atkins Park in Smyrna. You can see me almost every night on the weekends, and definitely during the week as well on Tuesdays.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. It was a blast. I'll get with you off the air. We'll find out more about the New York show. We're going to definitely have you back on.
Yeah. All right. What's
up,
guys? Definitely love to talk about any stuff.
Oh,
like that.
No,
right,
darling, you've been a breath of fresh air for this thing after hearing Frank talk. You're a breath of fresh air. It's like sunshine over a dead squirrel on the road. It's a beautiful thing.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Beautiful.
All right, guys.
All right, see you.
All right, well,
take
I'm
going
to run back into the bar. You guys have a great rest of your night.
And right, she's not even done working. That's how good she is. She's not even done working.
Oh, great. All right. She's fantastic. All right, we got her out of here.
I'll tell you what, man. No, she's good people. That's good people.
Yes,
that's good people right there. Right there.
Well, she contacted me, and she says, I've got stories, and I think I'll be good for your show. And I heard just the feel what you just heard today. Holy cow.
Oh, she'll be back. She'll be back. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that's cool. She's the runner of the hive, and it's just – she's got good energy, just like Maggie. She's got good energy and a very good sense of humor, and you gotta love that.
Good.
When you see it, when you meet a woman like that, don't let it go. All right. I'm being honest.
We're going to bring on our next guest, Gerald Timmerman. And Gerald's been on the show before you were, John. This goes back a few years ago. And Gerald is a country music songwriter and singer.
I'm only 9 years old, so.
And he's going to be joining us. I'm going to play one of Gerald's new songs. It's called Trying to Get Over You. And I will be right back to talk to Gerald. Everyone, hang tight. And we'll press the button. Now, there may be a delay because everything's running behind here. But anyway, hang tight. We'll be right back.
There's always a delay because you're below the Manson-Nixon line.
Yeah, I know. Here we go.
Yeah.
Up this morning and filled my coffee cup. Wiped the sleep out of my eyes, just trying to wake up. Lying there in bed last night, I thought you were next to me. Then I realized it was only just a dream. Well, I don't know how long it's gonna take. And I hope it's ever soon before my heart breaks. I guess I should go on and find somebody new. But you're right there in everything I do. Still trying to get over you. Turned on the radio and heard that same old song that we first danced to and made love all night long. Everything reminds me of the way it used to be, of a love that's gone and a memory haunting me. Well, I don't know how long it's gonna take. And I hope it's ever soon before my poor heart breaks. I guess I should go on and find somebody new. But you're right there in everything I do, still trying to get over you. Well, I could sit here and wonder why you're gone. Tore me all to pieces and left me all alone. I don't know how long it's gonna take. And I hope it's ever soon before my poor heart breaks. I guess I should go on and find somebody new. But you're right there in everything I do. Well, I don't know how long it's gonna take. And I hope it's ever soon before my poor heart breaks. I guess I should go on and find somebody new. But you're right there in everything I do, still trying to get over you.
And that was Gerald Timmerman with his new song, Trying to Get Over You. I feel like I want to cry after that song. Gerald, welcome to the show.
Welcome. How are you?
Oh, we're doing it. Hey, by the way, we're having technical difficulties, so if things get screwed up, it's John's fault. Say hello to John.
Yeah, it's all my friggin' fault. Yeah. Bring it on. We'll just blame it on John, right? Absolutely.
Right, blame it on John.
Hey, John's a common name. Every house should have one, or should.
Exactly.
So, Gerald, how you been?
I've been doing all right. Just working on music and put out an album last year, and that's one of the songs you just played off that album called the album's called Reflections. We're currently working on another album that's going to be coming out probably late summer, early fall, or something like that, somewhere in that category.
Well,
that
how'd the first album do?
Good. I sold quite a few. Had a lot of response.
Okay.
Have a lot of stations that are playing it overseas, like in the UK, over in China, over in
Tibet.
Over in Sweden. A lot here. In the States, like in Missouri, Texas.
Gerald.
Yes.
What's interesting is you have this kind of the same audience we have, because we have a big following in Vietnam. We don't know why.
It's weird. No, Frank, I figured it out. It's because of your Ponko.
It's my Ponko, I guess. But yeah, we have a lot of Asian followers of our show, and Vietnam's one of our biggest markets. So hey, we just introduced you to Vietnam if you weren't there already.
That's because the government pays them to listen to us.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. But,
it's like North Korea.
Oh, you guys.
Kim Jong mentally ill. Oh, God.
So how many albums do you have? Because I don't remember. I interviewed you probably, was it about 2 years ago?
2 years ago it has been, a little over 2 years ago. And I've had, this will be my second album out. That's a full album. So that's coming out in the fall, like I said.
Now, are you writing music for other people too, or are you just doing this all yourself?
I'm writing music, and there are some. I just recently connected with someone that they have artists that are looking for music, and they are interested in what I have. So that's a good thing.
I'll tell you what, therein lies, if you can write music for other people, there's a lot less of the bullshit. You get a paycheck, and you don't have to go run around every place, and you just get a paycheck. And then you come out with a second song, you get a paycheck.
Right.
And then they buy four more. Paycheck. It works out very well.
Right.
Then you come out with six more. Paycheck.
Bite me.
Well, we've been having fun with on the songwriting and we've been performing out every weekend, so staying pretty busy with that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So if people want to find your music, I want to mention your website right now. It's GeraldTimmerman.com. It's G-E-R-A-L-D Timmerman. It's TimmerMan.com, correct?
Correct. That's it.
My God, you know your letters. This is
I'm reading it, too. I'm reading it.
Public school. I call public school.
Now,
you get a voucher for that shit?
Gerald, I'm going to play another song, which is called Rodeo Life, and you look kind of like a rodeo guy. Do you have background in the rodeo?
I worked rodeos. I never did, like, team rope or anything like that, but I worked rodeos a lot when growing up.
Because I did, too, but I was a rodeo clown. I was just wondering.
They were riding you, pal. They were riding you, you big Turkish wrestler-looking cow thing. What are you talking about?
You were a rodeo clown then, huh?
Yeah, well, that was a joke.
I bet you were a barrel of fun, huh?
He was the barrel old men wanted into. Yeah, that's it. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. You guys are funny, huh? All right, let's play the song. The song is called Rodeo Life. It's called Rodeo Life, and we'll come back and we'll talk to Gerald. Everyone hang tight. We'll be right back. Oh, the music's not playing. Hold on, Gerald. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, wow. Technical difficulties. I'm going to see an Indian with a boop signal behind him.
All right, I'm going to try again.
That
music
broke the computer.
There you go.
Looking out through the windshield of this old Chevy pickup of mine,
running late down the interstate with a six-horse trailer behind. A George Strait on the radio makes me think of her right now. I dialed her number to hear her voice. I heard a message on the end of that line. What did you expect me to do? Sit around here and wait for you? We both know, baby, it was time. Said I'm sorry, but there's no room for me in your rodeo line. I pulled into that fairground as that hot sun began to set. I kept thinking about the way it was and her words I will never forget. It's only fair that I move on, live my life and let her be. Like a wild bull in that rodeo, you can't tame the cowboy in me. What did you expect me to do? Sit around here and wait for you? Since we both know, baby, it was time. Said I'm sorry, but there's no room for me in your rodeo life. I guess time moves on as we go our separate ways. Sometimes I can still hear her say, what did you expect me to do? Sit around here and wait for you? Cause we both know, baby, it was time. Said I'm sorry, but there's no room for me. What did you expect me to do? Sit around here and wait for you. Cause we both know, baby, it was time. Said I'm sorry, but there's no room for me in your rodeo life. Amarillo by morning.
And that's where I was.
Well, you know, there's no room for me in the rodeo life unless you marry a cow.
Oh,
I had to put it out there. I had to put it out there. I couldn't resist.
You had to get for that one. I know.
Yes, I went there. Yes, I did.
Well, I guess the lady just didn't like the horse around. Is that what the problem was? She didn't like the rodeo.
Oh,
horse?
Stop and, it! Oh, no, she didn't like.
Yeah,
she didn't like getting roped.
So, Gerald, if people want to get your first or your second album, is it found anywhere else other than GeraldTimmerman.com? Are you going to get CD Baby or Amazon or any of those places?
They can email me at, my website and contact me, and I will mail them out one.
Okay. Now, you mentioned to me in a message that not only do you like country music, you do like barbecue. So, let's talk barbecue. So let's talk about barbecue. Yeah, what do you do on the weekend? What kind of barbecue?
During the summer months, I like to smoke and grill and barbecue, like chicken, ribs, and you know.
Well, chicken's the food that the meat. I want to know what I've been eating. Meat.
So I grew up in the South in Oklahoma, so I live up here in Pennsylvania, and it kind of.
I lived in Lawton.
Did you? Okay.
Yes, I did.
So when I moved up here and started eating barbecue up here, it was like I'm used to the. I guess it would be the thick and tangy, like the real
right.
barbecue sauce, And the barbecue stuff they have up here is like, I don't know, it's like a tomato paste. I don't know what.
Ooh.
I don't know. It's not. And I'm like, this is barbecue sauce. And
where are you at now?
Pennsylvania. That's south of Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, yeah, well, Pennsylvania. Okay, well, boy, I got jokes about that, but we've had a lot of customers there, so I'll refrain. I will. I go for the dry.
Right.
Smoke it for, oh my God, maybe 205 degrees. Smoke that. Well, beef ribs are my favorite. Beef ribs, especially the short stacks. Short stacks, smoke them for about maybe 7 hours at about 195. And put a little rub on there in the beginning, and maybe 3 hours or 4 hours in. You don't want to break the heat, but yeah, go in there, throw a little dusting again, and close the hood and let them go. They'll be ready for dinner. You wake up at breakfast. I'm cooking dinner at breakfast.
John, you just described one of my evenings with the young lady.
You know what?
Wow,
that's, you know, I could, there's a man. I'm not going there. Nope.
All right, so
I'm being good.
At the end of the show, I'll play your last song, which is a very nice song. It's called Forgotten Soldier, and you want to tell a little bit of background about that song before we let you go?
This might hit me. Okay, go.
That was a song that inspired me to write it. I ate Joe Chark, and I saw a homeless veteran on the side of the road, and in a little town I was going through, and it inspired me to write it. You know, it's just like my heart goes out to the veterans. That's my passion lies, and it inspired me to write this song. You know, so many times we forget about the ones you served and you know, sacrificed, and you know, we appreciate the ones that are over there now and are doing, but we need to also appreciate the ones that have been there and not leave them behind and never forget what they did for us. And it's such a shame, you know, that they're homeless and out on the street and nowhere to turn. You know, it's
and the fact that if you don't care about them, you are not human.
Exactly, and I've heard people say, you know, they don't need help. Well, you know, there's a story behind every one of those people out there. They have
absolutely,
a story,
and all you have to do is ask, and they will tell you. And they are the best people on the earth. I mean,
and,
I grew up. I'm an Army brat. Dad was West Point, the 63. Granddad was West Point, 35. My God, the people don't realize. All you have to do is walk up to a vet. He's got more stories than you have time to talk about.
Oh, yes.
And nobody wants to give him the time. Nobody wants to give him the time because they're too busy on their cell phones. They're too busy doing, I have to go to gym class. Talk to the vet. Just talk to the vet. They want to tell you what they've done for you and the whole country. God damn it. Talk to a vet and shake his hand. Or if you see a guy out there, a lot of them around, like you go, oh my God, you go into New York, you see the guy, the vet's all panhandling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say they all are vets because there's a lot of fakes out there, that, you know, whatever, stolen honor.
Yes.
But whatever. But there are some real guys. And you, growing up in the military household as I did, you can pretty much speak out. I mean, you look at the guy. Oh my God, that jacket. Okay, the jacket the guy's wearing he's got a Navy emblem under an Army patch. Okay, that's a fake. You know, they're pretty easy to spot out. But the real dude, you meet at a bar. He's got friends and all that, but he'll talk to you to the nth.
Okay.
And he's got good stories. He's got very good, real stories
that you will
never hear on the news. You'll never hear about any of that crap. He will tell you what he went through, and you'll never hear about it anywhere else except from him.
Exactly.
And that's
what
this song is about. Forgotten Soldier is all about that guy that you see on the street that everybody has forgotten. And before you go, too, Gerald, we'll play your song at the end of the show, but are you playing anywhere in concert or any gigs at this right now in the next 2 months?
We're playing just locally around the Pittsburgh area here, and we've got some summer concerts and Bears and Pestles that we had to play. And
are you a Steeler fan?
They're further like into the summer and through the fall. So, yeah, we stay busy pretty much.
Well, I told you in a message that I know some people, some singers that are looking for some music, and I actually have some good contacts that have been on our show. As you know, we've been doing this for almost 6 years, believe it or not, and we've met a lot of talent, and there's a lot of people out there who are looking for people who can actually write songs, which you do. You do write some beautiful lyrics for your songs, too.
Well, thank
so
you
I'll,
very
I'll,
much.
I'll you
well, no,
I
no, no.
The
Frank Cecil, you're right. I've only heard one song you've ever done, and the words spoke to me. It was just kind of cool.
Yeah.
If you write stuff like that on a regular basis, I would suggest you start kind of branching out a little bit and write for – it makes it so much easier on you. I'm not saying you sing bad or anything like that. I'm just saying, bam, you've got a song, and people will buy that song, and it takes the onus off of you. I mean, you can write whatever you want to write, and you can go to the local bar, wherever you got venues at, you can go sing those songs. But keep a couple on the side and say, hey, what do you think about this? If Frank's got some contacts, I'd hit him up for those.
Oh, I got
that man.
I'm,
I'll tell
I'm,
you
I'm
what.
I'm actually gonna. I'm a. I'm gonna
appreciate that very much.
Oh, not a problem, dude.
You do have some really good songs, Gerald, and I think there's some people
Thank
out
you.
There. There's a difference. There's some people out here that can sing, but there's not a lot of people who can sing and write, and that's the key. So I'll appreciate that.
He called you a non-Liberace.
No, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who are looking for good songwriters, and I think Gerald's a good one, so I'm going to hook you up after the show. So everybody check out GeraldTimmerman.com, and the link is here on the show. All you do is got click, and you can go to his website, check out his new music. And when are you coming out with your new album, the actual full
Probably
full
in the
length?
Fall.
Okay, the fall.
Probably sometime
well,
in the fall.
Well, my point is, you can be a Lady Annabella Mulga. You can be one of these rock star people. However, they all got their songs from somewhere else.
That's all right. That's true. That is
not
true.
All of them. I'm not gonna say that. Not 100%. They wrote some of themselves. But I'll tell you what. That's you write the song, you do it right, and get the right keys and stuff like that in there. You write it, you sell it, you hang out with the bar with your check.
Hey, Gerald. Mm-hmm. Hey, Gerald, he just sounded like Barry Manilow. I write the songs that make the whole
world sing.
See, I'm totally leaving that alone. At the Copa Cabana. No. See, no, not going there. Nope.
Gerald, thank you for joining us. Everybody, check out.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, and you can come back. When you get your new album, let us know.
Absolutely.
You're welcome to come back.
I will certainly do that.
All right,
we'll talk to you later. Have a good evening.
Love you. Bye. Love you, dude.
All right.
Love you,
everybody. The show is almost over. Thank you to our guest, the bartender. I'm just going to call her Ariane, the bartender, and also Gerald.
She was funny as shit, dude. She was funny. And we only said fuck like 4 or 5 times.
I know, which is a record for us. Anyway, you got anything you want to add there, Mr. Duncan?
Yes, Hot Sauce Expo in Brooklyn, April 22nd, 23rd. Come on down. Oh, boy. If you've never been to a hot sauce show, make this your first. Granted, a lot of you aren't from New York, but if you're in the area, I'll leave it at that. But the pork jerky, the DEF CON pork jerky will be out in a couple of weeks. What else?
Wouldn't it be funny as shit if you had like a whole bunch of Vietnamese show up because of our show to the New York hot sauce show?
You know, it's funny because I can actually speak spotty Vietnamese. From the dad was there for 4 years during Nam. Yeah, Vietnam. Oh, he was there from 64 to 66, and that was the fun time. And then 68 to 70 was the not so fun time. He's got stories, and I can speak a little bit just from what you learn being over there. It's kind of neat.
No kidding.
And back in the 60s, I don't know if it's still true. Now, you're going to love this. It's perfect for the show, too. We have the dollar, all right? We have the dollar.
Right.
Before the EU, Italy had the lira, all right?
Right.
Vietnam had the dong, D-O-N-G, the dong. So you can get hi dong. It's just like, you can get dong notes, dong notes. It's like, I didn't know I could speak. Wow, look at it. Oh, I got E flat. They have the dong. No other currency on the earth beats the dong. You can't come over.
Right.
I mean, so you figure Italy would have like the Schwanz. Or no, that'd be Israel. But oh my God. But anyway, I guess we're gonna close out the show. I'm talking about currency. This is great stuff. But hey, yeah, whatever.
So if the dollar is called the dong, does it mean like their pennies are called the ding-a-ling?
The ding-a-ling for the dong, yes. Buku. Yeah, me love you a long time. No, it's nothing like that. No, bad.
Okay.
That's Stanley Kubrick.
We gotta go.
Bad.
We gotta go.
Yeah, we do.
All right, thank you for joining us. Come see us next Friday. And by the way, we've had an amazing response to our cast call. We are
from Vietnam.
almost solid till June 2nd. So thank you for everybody.
Wait.
What?
Wait. Maggie is here, and she has one thing to say.
How you do?
Yeah. Enter
right,
Maggie into the maelstrom of this show. It's fucking awesome.
All right, we gotta go. Everybody, thanks for joining us, and we'll be next Friday back here at the same place, same time. How do you say it? You always say same channel.
How you do? What you want?
How you
do? What you want?
Gerald Timmerman's song, Forgotten Soldier. We'll see you guys next week.
Have a good night, guys.
He was standing at the crossroads. I said, would you like a ride? He picked up his old suitcase, and then he climbed inside. He had on a dirty trench coat, ragged jeans, and they were torn. A pair of old green army boots, the soles were nearly worn. He said, man, I thank you, I've been out here for days. And I said, it's no problem. By the way, my name is Ray. He said, I lost my best friend back in Vietnam. You see, most of the time these days I don't know who I am. And I buried my wife and little girl back in 1979. The day we laid them in the grave is the day I lost my mind. Now I'm out here walking on this lonely winding road, 'cause everything I have is gone, no place for me to go. Forgotten soldier, you see I went to war when I was just a young man, sacrificing, fighting for this land. I'm not begging for sympathy, but I wish they would remember me sometime. Forgotten soldier. He said, just a mile up ahead, right around the bend, well, you can let me out there, 'cause I'm going to see my friend. You see, most folks, they don't raise a flag or thank us anymore, or pay respect to the ones who've lost their life before. And I sit there and watch him walk up to that cross on the hill, and I couldn't hold back my tears as he began to kneel. I went to war when I was just a young man, sacrificing, fighting for this land. I'm not begging for sympathy, but I wish they would remember me sometimes. Forgotten soldier.
such a young man, sacrificing, fighting for this land. I'm not begging for sympathy, but I wish they would remember.